ॐ सहनावतु सहनौ भुनक्तु सहवीर्यं करवावहै तेजस्विनावधीतमस्तु मा विद्विषावहै ॐ शान्ति शान्ति शान्ति। So this portion, personality chart, serves like a mirror. When we stand in front of a mirror, it reflects our personality, our physical personality. Similarly, when we understand this personality chart where he analyzes the seven aspects of our action and renunciation. Action cannot be done without knowledge. And an actor performs the action using the intellect and for the purpose of happiness, and how consistently the actor performs the action. And then also sometimes the actor gives up the action, renounces. All these seven aspects, knowledge, action, actor, intellect, consistency, renunciation, happiness. The seven aspects are analyzed from the sattvic, rajasic and tamasic point of view. The lower, mediocre and the highest gunas in us. So if the knowledge that we hold, is it sattvic or is it rajasic or is it tamasic? That we need to find out, because we are now analyzing the inner personality. And when we understand each and every aspect, then we accordingly have to, as I told you, in the end of this personality chart, we need to do our own analysis. It's more for us to understand ourselves, to see where we are, and to move towards the highest, that is from tamas to rajas to sattva, and go beyond sattva and reach the trans-sattvic state called enlightenment. So last week we saw knowledge. Sattvic knowledge, he said, is that which is seeing the divinity in every being, divinity in the entire experiences. In all the experiences, you are not succumbing to the temptations of the objects, material world, nor the attractions of the physical world, nor are you getting attracted by the emotional charms and intellectual delights. Go deeper and see the truth beyond all this. And then you identify with that. And that is same in every being. Whether he or she is a sinner or a saint, the Atma in every being is the same. It's not different. The Atma in the sinner is also the same as Atma in the saint. So when you identify from the Atma point of view, you don't see the differences, you only see the oneness. That knowledge with which you identify with the unifying reality, underlying reality, that is called sattvic knowledge. Rajasic knowledge is that knowledge by which you see diversity in unity. In other words, you identify only with the differences, the gunas. Each one's guna proportion varies. Somebody is highly sattvic, somebody is highly rajasic, somebody is highly tamasic. So the permutation combination varies. And even in a person, sattva guna, whatever amount of sattva guna they have, is predominant in the morning time. So therefore, in the morning he'll be more sattvic compared to the evening. Evening there will be more predominance of tamas. So if you start identifying with gunas, then you will only see the differences. So therefore, that is rajasic knowledge, by which you see manifold beings and not the unifying self within. In other words, you see the world and not the truth. You see the projection and not the underlying reality. World is superimposed upon the reality. You are seeing the world. And then tamasic knowledge, he says, is that by which you cling obstinately to a part as if it were the whole. And when you have this vision of the world, in the world, you see a part as if it is the whole. There is no logic, reason, no analysis, no facts supporting, just clinging to one's opinion. You form an opinion very fast and then cling to that opinion. So no reason supporting is this, which carries dogmatic, fanatic beliefs, like averring one's religion alone can save the world. To say that only our religion can save the world. All other religions cannot. So therefore we need to follow only our religion. All these kind of fanatic beliefs, whatever, he is giving one example. So many things we discussed last week about, you know, some people genuinely believing that when this planetary system changes and because of the movement, everything will become alright in a month or two. So they keep waiting for it. Instead of understanding the law of karma, if you understand law of karma, you will not be against all this astrology. You will understand astrology, but you also understand that my self-effort is important with the right attitude. Rather than, you know, seeing that, you know, this Rahu shifts from here to there, everything will be fine. If Kedu shifts from here or Shani goes from here to there, everything will be fine. So that sort of belief which has no logic reason supporting it. See, at least in the Rajasic case, you are seeing the world. So you say the world is where the differences are there. What are you talking? How can you say that they are one? That fellow is stuck at the external level. He is not able to see the Atma. Whereas tamasic fellow is stuck at a very, very superficial level. So that's why we said rajasic, sattvic knowledge is truth. Rajasic knowledge is facts. Tamasic knowledge is opinions. Superstition. You know, if you get up from the left side of the bed for 40 days continuously and then go and see the sun directly without seeing anybody else in the morning before 6 o'clock, and then everything will be solved. You know, a lot of people believe these kind of things. They believe so. And they'll do it. You tell them to get up and study, they won't. They say, hey, what is the logic? If I study, how everything will become all right. They won't be able to see that. But this they will do. This they have no problem. That's all he's saying. That is tamasic knowledge. Superstitions, opinionated, belief system. Going by that is tamasic. Going by the facts available to your gross intellect, mind, is rajas. But you use the subtle intellect, penetrate the facts and see the truth beyond the underlying reality. And that requires the usage of subtle intellect to see the oneness. That's not easy. So that's all he says. Next is action. What is sattvic, rajasic, tamasic action? Now, later on, he'll be talking about sattvic, rajasic, tamasic renunciation. But the interesting thing is, when you read sattvic action, and later on when you read sattvic renunciation, you'll find both saying the same thing. Sattvic renunciation is sattvic action. There can be no proper action, right action, without renunciation. Not possible. They are two sides of the same coin. That we will see, because a lot of people misunderstand this. They understand renunciation as giving up. Renunciation is not giving up. Renunciation is doing, backed by knowledge. And that is what he's going to talk about in the sattvic knowledge aspect. Please read this sattvic action.
Action. Sattvic action is based on one's obligatory duty and responsibility, and not action that merely follows personal like and dislike. It does not spring from attachment to action, nor is it action undertaken with a craving for fruit accruing therefrom. When you do what you ought to do in the world without the selfish attachment or anxiety for the result, then the action is sattvic.
So, sattvic action is based on one's obligatory duty and responsibility. Now, what determines our obligation? Our obligation in the world is determined by our goal, our stage in life. Isn't it? Supposing I am at a stage where I am a brahmachari, student. Then as a student, I have certain obligations. If in the stage of life, I am a grihastha, then I have certain obligations as a grihastha, father or a mother, or a grandparent, whatever. So, the role in our life's stage determines our obligation. And the goal, this is what I want to achieve in life. For that, these are the things I need to do. So when I refer to these things, and also the areas in which I am indebted, I am obligated. It's not only the life stage. There are certain areas I am indebted. So in those areas, I am obligated to pay back. We have taken from our parents or society, so many people have helped us in different contexts, you know, different times of our life. So we have an obligation towards them. And we have an obligation towards the nature, which is giving us whatever is necessary for us to sustain ourselves. So we have an obligation to see to it that we align with nature and function. Whatever we do should not be disturbing the nature or as much as possible. So when you live with such high awareness and perform actions with that responsibility, that is called sattvic action. So he says it is not action that merely follows your personal likes and dislikes. It is not something that springs from attachment to action. I like to do this, I don't like to do this. Nor is it action undertaken with a craving for the fruit accruing from them. The idea of doing that action is not springing from the result that you can get from that action. The idea is to give to the society. The idea is to do my duty, being in that particular role. Then every action will have its reaction. So there may be whatever fruits that comes, you take it as a prasad. But you're not doing the action craving for the fruit. That is rajasic. When you keep the fruit in mind and do an action, it becomes rajasic. When you keep the goal in mind, duty in mind, gratitude in mind, your inner nature in mind, then it is sattvic. When you do what you ought to do in the world without a selfish attachment or anxiety for the result, then the action is sattvic. So again, I'll repeat it. When you do what you ought to do is what is called obligation. How do you determine that? I gave you pointers. What kind of stage you are in? What is your goal in life? Which are the areas in which you are indebted? Based on all this, you have obligation. And you also have a inner nature. And in this universe, everybody is interdependent. Nightingale sings and inspires the glowworm. The glowworm gives light, showing the path to the nightingale in the forest. Each one supplement and complement the other. Like that, each one of us have certain nature. Instead of using this nature for just ourselves, we need to supplement and complement it with each other. So we have an obligation to express our nature in the welfare of the world. So rather than just working for my food, my convenience, I don't want to do this because I don't like it, or I like it so much, therefore I should do it, whether or not it's my obligation, or knowing that it may be not so good for others, I would still want to do it. All this is not sattvic. So sattva, when it's referred with reference to action, means doing your duty with no anxiety for the future, with no attachment to the present action, with no personal likes and dislikes propelling my action, with no selfishness, with no arrogance, with no doership. I do the action as a spoke in the wheel of life. Like Nike says, slogan says, just do it, I do it. And I get up. No prefix, no suffix. Such action is called sattvic. Continue. Rajasic action.
Should I start?
Yes, please.
Rajasic action is desire-ridden, coupled with a longing for its fruit, undertaken with the egoistic feeling. I do it all, causing strain and stress to the doer. It is contrary to sattvic action, which flows freely, effortlessly.
See, sattvic action, therefore, is a clear expression of action that stems from deeper knowledge of the world and the reality beyond. Otherwise, such an action is not possible, where you just do it with no prefix, no suffix. You understand that so many factors go together to bring about something. If you do not have that understanding, then you will claim everything as yours. If today's class has to happen, so many factors. Initially, there was no class because, you know, few people, when they were not able to come, they said, we cannot come. Maybe others didn't, they're not sure whether they can come. So they said, sir, let's cancel the class. I said, okay. And suddenly this morning, few people could come, check with me whether we can have. We can have. Okay, fine. We'll have. Now, these are not in our hands. So many factors are there. So if we understand this, then to that extent, we will not have that doership. Best example would be children. My child, my son, my daughter. On what basis you are saying this? My son, my daughter. Because your body produced them. Your body produced because of the food digested by you. And for the food to be digested, so many factors go. And then the very food comes from so many sources. Nature has played a very big part in it, right? the sun, the moon, the earth, water, everything has played a role. And then it becomes part of your body. And through a certain process, everything is happening and you say that it's my child. Even to identify with this body and say that it's me, it's madness. So many things have happened, you know, in the Bhagavad Gita he says, I am the one shining as the light in the sun, which through the moon enters the earth, cooks the seeds, and makes it possible to produce the vegetation upon which all of us survive. You say, I eat animals, animals eat that. So then it comes into you. Then inside you also, he says in the 15th chapter. That's why we chant the two shlokas. Verse number 24, chapter 4 of the Gita. Verse number 14, chapter 15 of Bhagavad Gita. We chant before lunch, breakfast, lunch, dinner, all meals, before any meals. Brahmarpanam brahma havihi brahma gnau brahmanahutam brahmai vatena gantavyam brahma karma samadhinam aham vaishvanaro bhutva praninam deham ashrita. Says, I have become the Vaishvanara in the stomach. And I am the one inducing that fire of hunger. Vaishvanara. Aham Vaishvanaro Bhutva Praninam Deham Ashrita. I have come inside their body. So, that Brahman is sitting inside as this Vaishvanara. And the same Brahman has entered the vegetation through the sun, moon, etc. And that food we go after because of the hunger. If we are not feeling hungry for a few days, it's a problem. We need to go to the doctor. We need to check problem can. Why am I not feeling this hunger? It can be something serious also. So, you have the hunger, therefore you go, you eat. It's actually prana, Agnihotra. There is offering into the stomach. When an offering happens, the food gets digested and then circulated, distributed, absorbed, and has given you the vitality. So when you say this body also has come from so many things. And then that produced the child. And he said, my child, my son, my daughter. And my comes only because of stupidity. If we really deeply analyze, there can be no my. Yes, the child from the physical world point of view has come through this body. And therefore, I who is now at the moment expressing through this body, have an obligation towards the child till the child can become independent. To a particular age stuck, I have to take care so that the child is not a burden to the world. But to say that my child, my same thing with action also. My action, I do it all. I'm the one who is responsible. How is it even possible? Not possible. So many people have to come together. A simple thing like, I'm able to see you and say hi. Just that one perception takes millions of activities. The object from outside has to enter my eyes. The retina gets inverted. Then it goes in through the nerves. Then it gets registered. There's so many things are there. Millions of things. Then I say, hi. Now, how did I see you? It's all happening as if it's happening like this, but then trillions of actions have gone beyond it, behind it. So then to say that I did it is madness. So therefore, a rajasic person's action is desire propelled with no higher thinking, higher vision. Sattvic person's actions are driven by knowledge, thinking, a right attitude of giving to the society. Hence, the person humbles the ego. Whereas the rajasic fellow lives for himself, herself. Therefore, desired, desire propelled. And they long for the fruit. They'll be craving for the fruit. The action is done with the craving for the fruit. Undertaken with the feeling that I am doing it. Supported by ego. I am the doer. No person with knowledge will say I am the doer. The 14th chapter is a beautiful shloka, the Bhagavad Gita. He says, Nanyam Kartaram. The sense, there is no other agent than Gunas, which is the doer. Nanyam Kartaram Gunebhya. Gunebhya Kartaram. The doer is actually the gunas. Prakriti, which is the potential maya, has manifested as this universe. It has divided itself as the subject and the objects. The subject is experiencing the objects, but the subject is the gunas. We are necessarily identified with the gunas, and then we think we are the doer. See, your mind, when you are in deep sleep, when you go to sleep, from your mind only the dream comes. The waker, technically when we go deeply, Avanti is the name given to the waker, Sadhana given to the waker, Rita, waker, Sandhya, waker, Ami, waker, everybody is waker. You understand? Everybody is a waker. So, this waker goes to sleep. When Anu goes to sleep, in the sleep, now Anu is well settled, everything is going on fine, children are educated, everything is going on fine. She may dream that, you know, she is having problem, children not getting admission, this thing, that thing, like that. So that is a different personality in the dream. Meenu, let's say. Anu is the waker. The dreamer is Meenu. And Meenu is going through a certain experience and world in the dream. Both Meenu and Meenu's world has come from Anu's mind. In this example, Anu's mind is Ishvara. And Meenu is the individual. Meenu's world is the macrocosmic world. Now, both the macrocosmic world and Meenu have come from Anu's mind. And this knowledge Meenu doesn't have. So Meenu has identified with these gunas of that particular dream, and then she's suffering. But if you get the knowledge that I am Anu, I'm not this Meenu, then will you get attached? Will you suffer? So that's what he says, Nanyam Gunepya Kattar. There is no other agent other than Gunas. The Gunas have split themselves. Sattva, Rajas, Tamas is what is manifested as this world. And the Gunas are functioning. Atma is merely enlivening. Unnecessarily, when the Atma enlivens, what happens? There's an individual born. Ego, which is nothing but the reflected consciousness. Consciousness, see, in the sunlight, supposing you bring thousands of mirrors, you will see thousands of suns reflected suns. So that is individual. In the Purusha, the Prakriti has manifested as various individuals. And each individual is having sattva, rajas, tamas, experiencing sattva, rajas, tamas externally. Unnecessarily, I identified with this reflected consciousness, which has been given different names. And then I think I am separate from them and I am the doer. Actually, it's the gunas. I am not the doer. So when I understand this, then I will not have this arrogance that I am the doer. That egoistic feeling. That is what causes stress and strain. Action cannot cause stress. It's the doership that causes the stress. That's why when you do an action which you don't love, there is some kind of stress. Because it won't make you forget yourself. When you do an action that you really love, it will make you forget yourself. After the game is over, you come back home, you may say, "Arey yaar, bada idhar idhar de, udhar udhar de." When a player who is so interested in sports, you find all these fellows, they, in the field, they throw themselves in field in cricket. Some of them get hurt and they continue. And later on they have to take all kinds of treatments. Because when you do what you love, your ego dissolves in it. When you do things which you, which is not your nature, which is not your swadharma, paradharma, nor do you have any higher goal, higher vision, higher purpose. See, for example, you may not like something. To keep awake and serve somebody at night. But if your parents have fallen sick and they need to be taken care of in the night, they are coughing a lot. Every now and then you need to probably give them something or the other. So you don't have any problem. Though you personally don't like being disturbed at night, but on that day or few days, you lovingly do that service because of your love to your parents. See, there has to be some higher love, identification. So an action that is born with a higher identification cannot give you stress. With no higher identification, just doing it for selfish purpose, not bothered whether you like, love it or not, I just do it because there is some benefit in it. And then obviously there will be stress. Because there's I. This I is what is giving stress. That's why he says rajasic action gives stress. It is contrary to sattvic action which follows freely, effortlessly. There's cooperation from the mind and the intellect. Therefore the actions flow effortlessly. So, desireless, egoless action is sattva. Desire-ridden, egoistic attitude is rajas. I mean, egoistic action is rajas. What is sattvic? Sorry, what is tamasic? Let's read that. Tamasic action.
Tamasic action arises out of confusion, delusion. Action with no regard to one's ability, capacity to perform it. With no concern about its consequence, heedless and irresponsible of the loss or injury according to another or oneself. Such actions ruins one's strength and vitality, offend human dignity and prestige.
So, rajasic action stems from desire. Sattvic action stems from higher knowledge. Tamasic action stems from delusion. Confusion. And delusion. In fact, when they talk about tamas, the word used in Sanskrit is pramada. Pramada means delusion, heedlessness, that which is detrimental. So, a tamasic action is that action which you do out of delusion. For example, thinking that it is giving us joy, but actually destroying us. For example, smoking. gambling, smoking, drinking, drugging. All kinds of things people do. Delusionary. This is what he calls as tamasic action. He also says in one line, if you see, such actions ruin one's strength and vitality. Eventually, completely destroys your strength and vitality. But why people do that? Gives immediate joy, no? Happiness. So therefore, that is tamasic action. With no concern about its consequences. If I procrastinate, procrastination is another example of tamasic action. I procrastinate and I'm daydreaming. Daydreaming is tamasic action. Procrastinating. All these saps are energy. And heedless and responsible for the loss or injury accruing to another or oneself. With zero awareness, completely zero awareness, I do an action, I am just looking at it from this moment. Then he also says action with no regard to one's ability, capacity to perform it. At the age of 45, you finally suddenly decide that I want to be an Olympic runner. Now, how is it possible? Basically, no thinking. An action with no thinking. Whether I can do this, not, no. Simply plunging without thinking. In the case of Rajas, there's a lot of thinking how to achieve the desire. In the case of Sattva, there's a lot of thinking how to achieve the goal. So in Tamas, there is no thinking backing the action. In Rajas, thinking is within the canopy of desires. In Sattva, the thinking is aligned with higher purpose, higher goal. This is a basic difference. So that's why you find all the things that he talks about in tamasic action. Tamasic action is no action. It is purely an action that is done as a, what do you call it? As a complete reaction. With zero thinking.
Should I read?
Yes. Pardon?
No, I thought I should read now.
Yeah. So the thing is, see why we need to understand these things correctly, because a lot of us are doing such actions. We may misunderstand them to be obligatory. What is obligatory itself, we don't know. To consume food which is good for us and not consume food which is not good for us. It's an obligation to our body. So, that's what he's saying here. There is no such knowledge. I am doing something which dulls my thinking. I get addicted to such things, whereby I am not in a position to think. An action of driving after drinking is a clear case of tamas. Basically, drinking itself is an action that is injurious to health. And then on top of it, you do it and drive also. And there are people who say, hey, I have done it many times. What nonsense are you talking? There are fellows who don't drink but meet with accident every now and then. I have drunk and driven many times. Nothing has happened. Don't tell me all these things. It's called tamasic. Tamasic action. Trying to become a multimillionaire by just buying one lottery ticket. One lottery ticket you buy and then you want to become multimillionaire where you do not want to work. All these activities are tamasic in nature. Continue. Actor. Please read actor.
Sattvic actor is not egoistic, doesn't have the I am the doer attitude, and is free from attachment, with no preferential relationship binding him to the world. Besides, a sattvic actor possesses steadfastness, dhriti, and enthusiasm, utsaha. He is energetic, cheerful, and joyful in what he does, and does it with consistency of purpose until the work is done. All along his course of activity, he remains disinterested in the result thereof. Success or failure means nothing to him. He maintains a balance of mind through the fluctuations of life's experiences.
So, sattvic actor is one who does sattvic action. And he asked one more thing that is added apart from what he said before is, that he will be determined, consistent, enthusiastic throughout. Cheerful. See, in a rajasic fellow, the cheer and enthusiasm comes from the promise of the result. In the sattvic person, the enthusiasm and cheer comes from the fact that he is doing what is right. You see the difference. In the sattvic actor, the enthusiasm is not coming from the promise of the result. Only if I make a deal for a few crores, I'll be happy. No. I am doing what I love and I'm doing what I'm supposed to be doing. The very fact that I'm doing what I enjoy and I'm doing it, my satisfaction comes from that, my enthusiasm comes from that. Not because my goal, my result is promising. Even if the result is not promising, he doesn't care. So, you know, in the modern context, if you have to say, it's an inspirational action that is followed by the sattvic actor. Whereas the rajasic actor is incentivized action. There has to be some carrot dangling, then it'll chase. That's what he's saying. He's so steadfast, sattvic person is so steadfast. Keeps on doing what he had to do. Whether the result is promising or not. Absolutely not concerned about the result. In fact, when you function like that, you get there. All along his course of activity, he remains disinterested in the result. Disinterested in the result in the sense, while acting, he is not bothered about the result. He's planned to get the result, how he has to execute, everything is planned and he's just executing the plan. While he's executing the plan, he doesn't think about the result. That's what it means. An actor who is not result oriented. An actor who is process oriented. That is called sattvic actor. The sattvic actor's consistency is maintained irrespective of whether the result is going to come or not come. Continues, continues, continues. That is sattvic actor. Rajasic actor, let's read now. Please read Rajasic actor.
Rajasic actor is ever impassioned. His desires are insatiable. He craves for the fruits of his actions. He develops greed for acquisition, possession and enjoyment. And when he meets with opposition in the pursuit of his desires, he is hurtful to those opposing them. He would also adopt unscrupulous ways and means to gain his personal ends. He is constantly buffered by the joys and sorrows that arise from his selfish behavior. Consequently, his mind remains agitated with worry and anxiety, stress and strain in life.
So, Rajasic actor is ulta of tamasic, I mean, sorry, sattvic actor. He is chasing the desire, chasing the objects of the desire, and he is restlessly functioning. His mind is agitated, looking forward for the result. And how quickly I must get it. And if there is a possibility that I will not get it, or somebody is coming in between me getting it, I don't mind even going to the extent of hurting them. That's what he says. He develops greed for acquisition, possession, enjoyment. And when he meets with opposition in pursuit of his desires, he is hurtful to those opposing him. I have to achieve my end by hook or crook. Doesn't matter. I'll do it. And he says he will also adopt unscrupulous ways and means. Ready to break the principles. For my personal desires to be fulfilled. Such kind of behavior, which is deeply selfish, will only produce mental agitations. And that's why he says, consequently, his mind remains agitated with worry, anxiety, stress and strain. See, the internal state of a sattvic actor is independent of the achievements. Whereas the internal state of a rajasic person, rajasic actor, is dependent on the external factors. Dependent on achievements, results. If the world is praising, he'll be fine. If the world is criticizing, he'll be affected. And that will make him perform bad again, and again he'll get caught in a vicious cycle. So that's why he says, a rajasic person is one who follows passion. Sattvic person is one who follows purpose. No. It's mere passion without purpose in the case of a rajasic fellow. Therefore, he is hurtful, frustrated, easily getting frustrated, jumping with joy, next minute sinking with sorrow. Typical rajasic fellow. He'll come and be talking very nicely. Suddenly something that is said in the party can upset the fellow. So you will see one fellow excited and next minute dejected. Again he can get excited. This is rajasic. Tamasic act, sorry, sattvic actor will be balanced in both pleasure and pain. See, what brings the balance is higher goal, you know. When you keep moving with a purpose, there's a reference point as purpose. So that keeps you the balance. Another fellow has no purpose, no goal. His goal itself is only to fulfill that. Therefore, he'll be agitated. So the balance can come with awareness. When you lack awareness, balance goes. When you're chasing the object of your desire, you have no awareness, nothing. Like a chicken without head, you're running after your desires. And therefore, you lose balance. You won't have time for family, you won't have time for your own body, you don't have time to sleep. All this is rajas, rajasic actor, you know. Desire keeps on increasing. The more you get it, the more it wants. So, you will end up finally losing your sleep, losing your family, losing everything. There's an actor who is sattvic, he understands that ultimately what matters is Atma. It is for the sake of that we are doing. By losing it, what is the point? Why you want money so that you can comfortably sleep? Why you want money so that you can be cheerful? But if the cheer, the comfort of sleeping, everything is to be sacrificed for that, then how is it worthy? So you start leading an imbalanced life. Because there is nothing for it to look beyond or be aware from behind. There is zero awareness. That's why it is chasing, 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 chasing. And the more you chase, the more it recedes. And you become mentally tired, fatigued. That's what he calls the stress and strain. The tamasic actor, please read that.
Tamasic actor has no ideal in life. As a result, no ideal in life. As a result, he lacks steadfastness in pursuing any course of action. Bereft of culture and refinement, he is vulgar in thought, word, and deed. He is stubborn, obstinately attached to his way of life, deceptive and misleading, malicious in dealing with others, lethargic and indifferent towards his obligatory duty and responsibility, remains ever despondent and depressed in life, and procrastinates, puts off actions without completing them.
So, tamasic actor is bereft of goal. As I told you, sattvic action is purpose driven. Rajasic action is purely passion, desire driven. Tamasic actor has nothing driving him. So, a tamasic actor has no goal. And desires are also unmanifest. So neither the desire is pushing the fellow, nor the goal is pulling the fellow. As a result, the fellow will be very, very inconsistent. He lacks steadfastness in pursuing any course of action. He will be in a state of despondency. Kya fayda? Koi fayda nahi. What is the point? You know, that, like that they'll be talking. And he says, bereft of culture and refinement. He's vulgar in thought, word, and deed. There is no identification. As a result, we can say words which will hurt others. Rajasic fellow is not. So, what is the basic difference between Rajas and Tamas? Actually, also we need to understand. Rajasic fellow is desire-ridden. Tamasic fellow is detrimental. That is the difference.
Guruji, I have a question. May I ask?
Yes, yes.
So, if someone's nasty to you, you know that's not the right thing to do. How should one ideally react? Or act, not react?
Well, if somebody is nasty, firstly, as you yourself use the word response, not reaction. How do one respond? Not react. That's what you meant
correct.
By not react. See, to be able to respond, I need to be first calm. If I am not calm, I will be reacting. I can only respond when I am calm. What will bring my calmness is my knowledge. So, I must understand why that person is nasty. First of all, the fellow is uncultured. He is nasty without, because he has no cultural upbringing. Or his gunas are such. Therefore, you will be sorry for that fellow who is identified with such gunas, rather than, you know, rising above the gunas. And thus he is functioning. So you understand. He is tamasic in nature. And you do not want to identify with that, and you keep your balance. Then you see in the context what you have to do. Either it is better to leave them, or you need to give them back something. Accordingly you do. Like they tried Krishna and Arjuna, they tried to find a solution through discussion, giving in, etc. Didn't work. Finally, they were ready to fight also. So, you can also respond aggressively, but after proper thinking, if it's needed, without losing your balance.
That's then that means I'm also stooping low.
No. Stooping low is when you are unaware.
Okay.
See, you are driving the car. You are going. Properly driving in your lane, following the red signal, the signal and everything, obeying the law. One lorry driver, it actually happened. I'm living in Faridabad. Morning when I went for a walk last week, my God, terrible accident. It happened already. Later on I came to know that lady had died. And two, three fellows were in the hospital ICU. When I saw one car was almost crushed. One lorry is completely toppled and it's on the other side. One bus is damaged heavily. Then what kind of accident is this? Early morning it has happened. I was going for the walk around 6:45. And this must have happened long time ago. Maybe 5:36, I don't know. Then later on somebody told me about these things. So, you are going properly. Actually, at that day, what happened apparently is that lorry fellow must have come with full load. And I also see many times on the road, fellows take more than what they are supposed to take actually. And there's no covering also. Absolutely no covering on top. They're carrying the sand or gravels or whatever, or big rocks. And they are going at the terrific speed with all kinds of potholes and speed breakers. The rock will fall on somebody for sure if something doesn't happen. If something is not happening, means definitely Bhagwan is taking care of this country. So, when you see that, there is somebody coming, losing control of the car, vehicle, lorry, bang opposite you. You are driving correctly, following the rules, regulation. All that. Bang opposite you is coming with such terrific speed. Now, little bit you have to go on the other lane or the opposite side maybe sometimes to escape from this idiot. You know. So, you go there. Are you stooping to unrighteousness? You're not.
No, I was on an emotional level. Guru.
Exactly. I'm giving one example to make you understand from that angle also. Stooping means you have lost control. Yaha, you are giving them back the language they understand. If that is what is needed, I didn't say that's how you should do it. If that is what is needed, finally you may go through that after proper thinking. That is not stooping down. When we say stooping down means we are doing it without control.
Thank
without,
you.
Without, what do you call, awareness. That's called stooping. This is not, and you won't do it. Generally, you won't do it. It's not eye for an eye or anything like that. You will not do it. Like you said, I won't stoop down to that level. Most of the time, you just, you know, avoid them and go. Let them talk rubbish. And by doing right things, you may teach them a lesson. It is what you 90%, 99% of the time do. And percent sometimes maybe that you have to give them back in their language. Then they'll understand. Sometimes, you know, bullying. There are fellows who bully also in colleges and all. You don't react to them. Understand they're useless fellows wasting their time. But sometimes you have to give them back in their language. Then they will never come yourself. That's after. In fact, that is possible to be done only by a fellow who has tremendous awareness. So, then first thing to make sure is them being nasty should not make me get agitated. It's them that means they are eating chili and I am getting stomach problem. If they eat chili, why should I get stomach problem? They are the ones who are being nasty. Why should I be agitated? I understand their upbringing is wrong or without thinking they are doing, and therefore they are talking like this. How much time will it take to stoop down to talk in that language? Huh? All kinds of uncouth language somebody talks. How much time will it take? Hardly 1 second. And that is what goes as fashion today. It's cool. They use the word cool. There's nothing cool about it. So, you just see from that person's point of view and let him. But that doesn't mean you allow the person to disturb your actions, and then you should not. So that's all you can do. That's all you're supposed to do. So tamasic actor has no goal. And he has absolutely nothing that he looks forward for. No inspiration, no incentive. He is just, you can, if at all, you can say, indulgence motivates the soul. Not incentive, indulgence. Bereft of culture, vulgar in thought, word and deed. We'll continue next week. Om Purnamada Purnamidam Purnat Purnamudachyate Purnasya Purnamadaya Purnameva Vashishyate. Om Shanti Shanti Shanti. Om Kayena Vacha Manasendriva Buddhyatmana Va Prakate Swabhava Karomi Adya Sakalam Parasmai Narayana
Hari Om Guruji.